Our Lord, our King, you've spoken great words of kindness and tenderness to us. And Lord, I know this morning we've known your presence. Lord, your holiness, Adonai Tzidkenu is your name. The Lord, your righteousness, our righteousness. Lord God, you are the only one who is so pure and so righteous. Lord God, amongst us there is not one. There is only you, and it's your righteousness we seek, Lord God. We seek your presence where righteousness and holiness is to be found. Oh Lord, just a few minutes in your presence would be like 1,000 years in this secular world. It would be such a wonderful, wonderful moment, Lord. We know with eternity we shall be with you. But Lord, even now we are here, and you've called us, Lord, as your people, Israel, the calling you've given to us to be a light to the nations, to beam out that light of truth, of righteousness and justice, of mercy and holiness in this dark world. Lord, this is our calling and our task, Lord, you've given to us. And you've given us your commandments, your mitzvot, Lord, to day by day become more and more like who you are. Lord, as we listen to your words now, Father, I pray that you've prepared our hearts and minds to hear what you have to say to us this morning. Amen. Shabbat Shavuot needs no introduction, I guess, at all. What a wonderful festival this is. The Cheesecake Festival is upon us once more. You know, I was just thinking, listening to the prophet Ezekiel there this morning. You listened to the words which we heard, and I just thought, how many of us actually understand God? You know, you listen to those words with the wheels and the eyes and the beasts and the... And, you know, I'm listening to that thinking, Lord, you know, I think I understand you. But when you get a vision of God like that, who actually understands our God? And, you know, we've known, have we not, in the past commentaries, yes, even some commentaries from with our own community who have raised an eyebrow and thought, you know, what stick was he sucking on? What hallucinatory drugs was he taking? Was none of this. This is none of this. Not for us, the voice of cynicism. This was the prophet who was given an incredible vision of God. Recorded for us here in a way. There's no attempt to try and unpack this or understand this. This is what I saw. What can you do with something like that? Where do you go with a place and a festival like Shavuot? What do we do? You know, it's just going through the sermons as we've done over the years. We've covered so much, in fact. You know, we've talked about the fire coming down. We've talked about the people there in Yerushalayim who'd gone up to worship 2,000 years ago of the tongues of different languages that people were speaking. We've talked about the giving of Torah. We've even talked about the number of loaves offered. And yes, in fact, one year I even preached on cheesecakes. True, I did. But I'm not going to do it again. But, you know, in amongst all of this, there's an area which we can look at, which I think is quite interesting. You know, we have a record for us, which is kept of what was happening at that time. And it begins, in a sense, at the end of the Besorah that recorded for us by Lucas. And I'm just going to pick up here in chapter 24 and pick up from the end here. This is the time Yeshua Mashiachenu has risen, and the people around him are listening. He said to them, "For these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the Torah of Moshe, and the prophets, the Psalms, the Ketuvim, the writing concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend and know the scriptures, the Torah. He said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Mashiach to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins, atonement, should be preached in his name to all the nations, to all nations, beginning here in Yerushalayim, and you are the witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but wait in the city of Yerushalayim until you are endued with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and taken up into heaven. And they worshipped him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. And you have to then continue with that account straight into the historical book that we have, where it begins here. For the former account I made, Theophilus, of all that Yeshua began to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Ruach HaKodesh, had given commandments to the apostles, the Shaliachim, whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering with many infallible proofs, being seen by them during the 40 days of what? Counting the Ormah, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of Adonai. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For Yochanan, the immerser, truly immersed with water, but you will be immersed in Ruach HaKodesh not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Ruach HaKodesh has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of this earth. As we said yesterday, one continues from the other. As we got here, Pesach and Shavuot connected, bookends of the counting of the Ormah and the last count we did last night. These themes linked together in substance, of content. There's something linking them. Though what begins with the redemption of from us from Egypt, our salvation in a sense, ends with Shavuot, when suddenly the Torah is being given. And it's not just in the sense that we think, hallelujah, Torah has been given to us, Yisrael. The command to us is to take this teaching of righteousness and justice to the nations. See, we can hold on to Torah ourselves, and we can cling to it, and we can process it, and we can praise and wonder and think it's fantastic. This is for us. This is for us as Israel. And we forget that actually the Great Commission which was given to us, it's not just for you. You need to teach this to the nations. The salvation that has begun for us from Egypt ends with our commandments, with the Torah that we have, that we're not just to be selfish. We are meant to share this good news. And that's through all of this, there is a little comment hidden about the promise to come. The promise. You see, we can take this word that God has given to us, we can take this Torah, and we can then get out there and we can start handing out Torah scrolls. Well, you wouldn't want to do that, but you know what I mean. Read this, understand this. And we could do this all in our own strength, but Yeshua says, no, 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 no. Mashiach's word to us were, we should do what? Wait. Wait. But how can we wait? We've just done Pesach. You know, you're chomping at the bit, aren't you? You're waiting to, you know, we've done this. This is fantastic. We've got this good news of redemption and salvation. We want to go out and do about it. And the Mashiach says, wait. You will wait for something. For the promise of the Ruach to come upon you, to empower you to do something. He says, wait. And I've heard some pretty daft interpretations down the ages and read them and seen them about when people will say stupid things to you somehow. Oh, look, the Ruach was given. No, 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 no. The Spirit of God hovered on the waters at creation. The Ruach Adonai has always been with us as Israel. This is not something new in this sense here. The Spirit of God has always filled the universe. God is one. So why the wait? What is going on? What is this about? Why wait at all? You know, I read this and I just thought, what is the point of this counting of the Ormah? What is this waiting time between Pesach and Shavuot? Can't God act now? Can't he do this on the first day after Pesach? Why wait these 50 days? What is this whole point of waiting? Ticking the days off one by one by one as we go. What are we waiting for? Lord, do it now. In the context, it all becomes clear. It was during the time of the Ormah counts each day being numbered and counted publicly on the run-up to Shavuot. If you see it this way, if you forgive me for my tongue in my cheek, as each Ulma Advent calendar door was opened. Now, there's no chocolate behind it either, forget it. But the anticipation is growing. The anticipation of day by day, as the Pesach is moving further behind us, Shavuot is ahead of us, the anticipation of something coming is growing. A longing for the fulfillment of what had begun at Pesach was developing in us, longing for the fulfillment there in Shavuot. Children, every evening asking us, are we nearly there yet? Indeed, a quick look at the Hebrew word for waiting actually shows us that it has more to do with expectation and hoping for, a longing for, than actually with just loafing around on street corners getting up to mischief. See, waiting is not what you think it is. For us, waiting is in a bus stop, isn't it? Waiting for the first bus to come. You know those waits? Yeah, you can wait a long time. Yeah, you live in hope for a bus to come here in Norwich. But that's not the kind of waiting we read about in the Torah. Waiting is not something negative, actually, in Torah. Waiting is something positive. Waiting actually highlights, if you then the word itself, something very positive, the active nature of it and not the passive nature of it. Waiting is something active. You see, waiting for us is passive, isn't it? Sitting on a chair, waiting. I'm waiting. Nothing's happening, but I'm waiting. But that's not the Hebrew understanding. Waiting is active. Waiting is not doing nothing. Waiting is being engaged in a process of expectation and longing which takes you to the place where the fulfillment comes. See, our people have always waited. We are, as Jewish people, the people who wait. We waited 400 years in Egypt. We waited 70 in the first diaspora. Nearly 2,000 years we've been waiting before we're back in the land again. We waited 40 years in the desert. We were also looking back with the theme of 40. Think of Moshe before he could do something, had to wait 40 years. We are a people who wait. What was it that Moshe had to wait for 40 years? He had to wait to be ready. You see, Moshe, when he leaves Egypt, with all of his training in the world behind him and everything, all the good things that Egypt had given to him, and you know, we can't knock Egypt for that because he was a highly trained man, but he was not ready to serve God. He had to wait another 40 years before he was ready for that. He had to wait. The time of waiting achieves something in you, not only in the timing of God, but also in us, his people. Moshe was not ready to serve God and be the leader of Israel until he was nearly 80 years old. That's kind of scary, isn't it? You know, anyone who's a leader reads that and swallows hard, especially if you're under 80. If it took Moshe that long to be ready, then what am I doing here? It's a scary thought. We mentioned it yesterday, the wilderness years. The wilderness got the people ready to enter the land. One whole generation had to move on, and another took their place. A time of waiting for this change of generations, a time of waiting for the vision to grow, for faith and trust in God to grow. It took time to happen, and we had to wait for this. Our own life's journey is a preparation for what God will do for us too. Preparation takes time. Now, we've often said in our own Judaism, Messianic Judaism, we've often said, wouldn't it be nice if it was just like that now and it all happened? But preparation takes time. It takes time. Why does it take so long? Because unlike us, who want it all now, God is far more interested in you and your personal growth, spiritual, personal, and the knowledge of him. He is far more interested in how you are growing and developing than what he will actually do with you. See, we as human beings, we as the Jews that we are, look at ourselves and think, you know what, we've got a calling, we've got a task, we've got a mission, let me do this now. And the Lord says, you're not ready. You're not ready. You'll wait. That's what you'll do. And you see, the myth today for so many people is that God is just waiting to release you into some kind of ministry. We're impatient for this to happen, as if somehow God is tapping his fingers. Hurry up. We think, use me now, quickly. I can't hang around forever. I'm not getting any younger. And the Lord says, no, you're not, but hopefully you're getting more mature. God does not need you to do his work. He doesn't need you to do his work. You know, even the comment, just thinking back to Purim, where the comment's made, maybe for such a time as this, God has put you in this place. You know, maybe he has. But even if he hasn't and you don't do this, you know what? God will raise up someone else who will do it. He does not need you in that sense. His will always be done. But we kind of think, but that's me, that's got to be me, I'll do this, I'll do that. We're for some reason more concerned about how God will go on to use us rather than how he's going to change us. Why do we not concern ourselves more with how God is going to change us? Because if God changes us, it hurts, doesn't it? There's often pain involved in that process. We just want to look at the outcome. We want to be there already doing X, Y, or Z. And the Lord says, slow down, slow down. You'll wait, you'll change. I will mold you and change you. We're called to be more in the likeness of his son, more in the likeness of Adonai. But God, we think, just wants to use us. But it takes time for our own priorities to be brought into line with his. We need to do something really important, and that is to yield to him. And there is no shortcut to Shavuot. There's no shortcut in this journey. We must yield to him. And knowing what we are like as a stiff-necked people that God often calls us, it takes time for us to actually begin to yield to him. It doesn't happen overnight. Growing into our freedom takes time. Like a good wine, it can't be rushed. Neither would you dig up a seedling to keep seeing if it's growing. It takes time. You'd kill the seedling if you did that. You've got to leave it. Leave it. Wait. It'll grow. It takes time. And yet so often we expect to be redeemed one day and perfect the next. From our point of view, maybe we should be wearing signs around our necks saying righteousness in progress. Coming your way at some point. Because you see, if Israel had gone straight to the land, they would have taken all the rubbish of Egypt with them. And frankly, if we're honest, when we read through the books of Yehoshua and the judges that we have here, even then, after the 40 years of wait, it was bad enough. We still took enough with us. There was so much to learn, so much that had to change. It's why we in our Judaism place so much emphasis on discipleship and training. We need to be trained and schooled in the ways of righteousness and faith, holiness and dedication. These things take time to be trained in this, to experience it, to put it into practice, to learn the new habits that we talked about a few weeks back. It takes time. Do not despair of yourself. You will get there. You will. How do I know this? Because the mess that my life was, when the Lord God took hold of me and changed me, I know if he can handle me, he can handle just about anyone. He will get you there. He will get you there. There is no doubt about that. But you see, the flesh fights against this, our old ways. We have to learn and grow into this new reality, to take hold of what has become the new reality for us. And yes, as we know, some of the old man's habits and ways are like bad stains on a shirt. They take many washes to be removed, but ultimately they are removed. It'll take some time, but don't despair. All good things come to those who wait. But waiting is hard, isn't it? We want it now. Instant answered prayer, microwave religion, Kentucky fried faith, and a drive-through blessing. But you know the problem with these things? You know the problem with this? If ever you've been to a burger bar, half an hour later, you're hungry again. Because it's not going to fill you up. This is the problem Whatever is fast and rapid and quickly done and gives you instant gratification like that, it doesn't last. That's why in Judaism it takes time. Because the changes and transformations that are happening in us are real, and they take time, and they will therefore last. Because what God does for us is not going to leave us hungry and thirsty again. But waiting for God to move and act seems like forever. How often have we prayed in the past for this or for that, and then sometimes it takes 2 years before a prayer begins to be answered, and we look back and think, Amen. Thank you, Lord. But it took time, but the prayer was answered, and in that time we've had to wait on Him. We want it now. Just think about all those who've gone before us, who were praying through the liturgy and otherwise of the restoration of Israel. Many people towards the late 1800s, many people praying for Israel to be re-established, and they died never having seen it. But they knew it was coming, because God had promised it. They knew it would be. For all our people down the ages who've longed and worked for the restoration of Israel, who only began to see that vision realized in 1948 once more. And you know what? The full restoration is yet to come. This is just the beginnings of our salvation and redemption. There is more to come. And we haven't seen it yet, but it is coming. For all of those who've gone before, their faith meant they could wait on God to bring it about regardless, even though they spent sometimes all their lives waiting and died waiting. But we get tired of waiting, don't we? Especially in our go-fast society today, with our go-faster stripes and everything else that we have. We get tired of waiting. We get restless, bored, impatient for the next big new thing. And all of this breeds its own problems in our society and culture. But before we criticize our own culture today, let me take you back to a time thousands of years ago. Remember the golden calf? Why was it built? Well, Moshe was gone and we were waiting. Where is he? He's up the mountain. I don't know where he is. Is he coming down? Who knows if he's coming down? We're waiting. And the result of our waiting, with Moshe gone, no longer with them, the waiting, it seemed, became interminable, and it actually wasn't that long a wait. So what did we discover in ourselves? We wanted something now. We wanted something visible, something tangible, a focus for our endeavors, something that would fill the vacuum left by Moshe, who was up the mountain. And so the waiting became a problem for us. We wanted some action now. What happened when they couldn't wait? They began to fall into error. Innovation, spiritual reinvention seemed to be so good when everything was quiet, but they missed the blessing of God because they couldn't wait for Him. They couldn't wait for Moshe to come down. See, waiting can be a problem for us. We read in the Messianic writings about people with itchy ears, heaping up teachers who will give them what they want to hear because the waiting is interminable. It goes on, bring me people who will make me happy, entertain me, do this, do X, Y, and Z. And you know what? The golden calf is reinvented all over again. Patience is a key spiritual fruit. Let me just read this to you. This is in the letter Rav Shaul wrote to Timotheus, and he says this. This is in chapter 2 and in verse 24. For each and every one of us, he says, a servant of the Lord, a servant of Adonai, must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, and be patient. Patient. What you've got to be. Patience is a virtue. Patience is a spiritual gift. Patience is something given to us. And if we want to be servants of Adonai, then we must learn to be patient for God's timing in His way, His place, in the way He chooses. And not just how we want. It's a key spiritual fruit for all those who yearn to walk closely with God. So the first Talmudim were told to wait for the power of God to enable them to live out this calling as Jews. In fact, 40 of those 50 days of waiting were actually hallmarked by Yeshua's actually meeting with them, as we have recorded for us, leaving in fact just 10 days left, 10 days left to wait on their own. Not a lot, really. And yet even then we also read that some weren't sure, did we stay, did we not, did we go back to work, what did we do? During this time of waiting, receiving encouragement, reassurance, faith being stretched and enlarged, receiving understanding from God, we're preparing for the commission they were about to carry out, beginning in Yerushalayim and to the ends of the earth. Just as they weren't really on their own, neither are we. The Ruach of Adonai walks with us as Yeshua did physically then, encouraging and strengthening. We are becoming more mature as believers, as Yehudim, day by day, more able to rise to the call that God has placed upon us. And what is that call? The answer actually was found in the reading we had this morning. The question on their lips was fascinating. And they said this, when will the kingdom be restored to Israel again? When will it be restored? 2,000 years we have waited. 2,000 years we have waited for the kingdom to be restored to Israel, and now it is beginning before our eyes. 1948 was day one. That's not the conclusion. The kingdom will be fully restored to Israel. We are going to see this with our eyes. We are the blessed generation that has begun to see the redemption of Adonai of Israel. We are seeing this. When will the kingdom be restored? Achshav, now. It's almost upon us. Mashiach will return. He will rule again from Sion. Our wait is almost over. And the question to us is, are you ready? I'm going to conclude with what the prophet Habakkuk said. This is 2 verse 3. And it says this. And we need to cling to these words. For the vision is for the appointed time. It hastened towards the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay, for the glory of the latter house will be more than the former. This is what the prophet says. It will not fail. Wait for it. It is certainly coming. It will not delay. Amen.